Show.
Welcome to the final. Tony Archer is the major referee tonight. It's a good smell, isn't it, September? Sit back and enjoy. We're underway with the finals. Tigers right left. Taken by Soward on his own line. Hunt comes back, 25 years of age. The birthday yesterday.
G'day everyone, I'm Warwick Nicholson and welcome to Not The Footy Show episode 83, and Matty Duncan is on the line and we are talking qualifying finals. They're in the books, Matty, and we have, well, four winners and they're all the top seeds for the first time in history.
Yeah, the first time everything ran true to form was, everything went the high play seeds or the handicapped order, to use racing parlance there, but look, it was finals footy, but didn't feel like finals footy to me, was.
Friday night did. I enjoyed Friday night's game. Definitely one team in control for the first half and then the other team coming home in the second half. It was a good game of footy. But then Saturday night, I made the comment on Twitter, unless you were a supporter of the Broncos or Manly, you would have been extremely disappointed with the quality of football we saw on Saturday night. And then today, this afternoon, the Melbourne Storm in control for 60 minutes against the Knights. Opened the door up a little bit later on, but the final scores were 21-12, the Tigers over the Dragons, 40-10, the Broncos over the Warriors, 42-8, the Manly Ringer Seagulls over the Cowboys, and the Storm 18-8 over the Knights. Mate, you obviously would have enjoyed Saturday night's game, but is that how you felt? Did you feel like this wasn't quite semi-final footy?
I didn't feel like a semi-final at all. It was a big crowd there, great atmosphere, but the footy didn't kind of probably live up to that. You know, the Bronx played some really good football, and as a Broncos fan, I was rapt with how they played, and particularly some of the young guys. But as going to watch a semi-final, it didn't feel anything like that. It was quite disappointing in that regard.
Now, we've pointed out this is the first time in the history of the McIntyre that all four top seeds have won, and in the way that the McIntyre seems to work, everyone has no idea how it's working until, like, Sunday, how the game's going to pan out. Basically, partners between teams 3 and 6, they just changed partners. But I just wanted to make sure we went back to that amazing ditty that came out from Not The Footy Show later last week, the finals countdown. I'm sure you had a listen, mate.
Oh, I love it. It's on high rotation here in my house. I was loving it, playing it a couple of times a day.
Mate, I can't get it out of my head. I edited it that long. It's just over and over again, finals countdown, and Dave killing a cat in the background. Cover your ears. Here's the finals countdown from Not The Footy Show.
Lucky we don't want you to go.
But it's Benji's turn now.
His turn now.
That's Cowboys Warriors are finished below. It's the finals countdown.
Themselves, though, that's what the real story was. We obviously matched highlights to a reworking of Europe's hit, The Final Countdown. And I just wanted to tell everybody that, you know, maybe we were a little bit prophetic in the way that we wrote our lyrics, because even though a few of us didn't, none of us picked the exact winners with the whole line system that we set up for the tipping comp, we were pretty prophetic with our words. Because I just want to tell everybody that, you know, we said the Dragons are the reigning champs, but they're struggling. And they continue just struggling, and will they win it all again? You know, that was pretty spot on.
That was spot on.
At the end of Friday night. And then at the end it said, Knights, Cowboys, Warriors all finished too low, and they were the three real dud performances of the weekend. And I think even though the Warriors have got a second chance, we're pretty sure that, I know the Knights are gone, the Cowboys are gone, but the Warriors, they're gone as well.
Well, they're looking pretty. If they produce anything like they did Saturday night, they are cactus.
Now, if you haven't seen our video yet, people, I implore you, watch it in mute. Because our singing is absolutely terrible. But yeah, we had a bit of fun with that, and we put it on a new YouTube channel so that if the NRL ever took it down, it wouldn't affect the rest of our videos, because for some reason the NRL isn't always about promoting the game of rugby league by showing highlights of rugby league on YouTube. I don't understand that, mate.
No, that's one of the great mysteries of this world, some of the decisions made by the NRL in that regard. Very, very strange.
Now, we will be putting on that channel as well. They do on ESPN Sports Center a thing called the Ultimate Highlight for about a minute or so, and we'll be trying to put that together in the next 24 hours, a basically ultimate highlight of all the four semi-finals we saw this week. Now, we're going to go into all the games, mate. We'll start with the game this afternoon. The Melbourne Storm, 18 points to 8 over the Newcastle Knights. Okay, these are the highlights for Newcastle versus Melbourne. Now, they're not as good as the ones for the three games that will follow in the podcast, but that was because the game analyzer wasn't up, so I couldn't pick and choose as easily. This is just cut down from the NRL highlights, but it should give you an idea about the Storm one.
And here's Gidley getting it on. It's gone to Costigan. It's gone to McManus. Good run by Newcastle, but it's gone forward. It's been recalled to forward pass. Costigan to McManus. Costigan knocked on. Advantage applies. Duffy's away. Melbourne will score under the uprights of the southern end. It's gone to Cronk with the head bandage. And Cronk did it well. Slater does better. Champion. He eclipses them all with a try.
That's lovely stuff. Lovely set move. done it 1,000 times at training.
He gets a kick across, Slater's underneath it, so too is Newcastle, Manu has scored. Cameron Smith taking it out to even sixes now, 18-0 Melbourne. Manu's away, he won't beat Ioane, but he might get it to Widdop, which he does, and Widdop is picked up and pulled out in cover. Stig, Gidley, Gidley will score, Newcastle are on the board. Gidley in the score. And back to Gidley and on to Manu. He cuts out McDougall, Ioane, they can't stop him. And Ioane plunges over. And Gidley has missed it again.
You know, we've earned the week off now and we've got to make sure that we prepare in those 2 weeks and make sure we're peaking next week. So, it was a great performance by the boys today. We've been down a little bit in the last couple of weeks and fell away a bit at the end, so a bit to work on.
Melbourne, they went into this match and they just had to stick to the game plan. They had their big players back in the match. The Knights, they had one option in this match. Don't make mistakes and Melbourne won't hurt you too much. And what happened, Matt?
They made a lot of mistakes, Wos. A lot of mistakes.
What? I mean, they tried to play some football, which I think they had to, given they were the eighth seed, but I don't quite get the mentality of the way they made the mistakes. They were just soft. It wasn't like they were trying to force the offload or anything like that. They were just dropping on basic passes.
Yeah, they were your real clumsy style of areas. And like you said, you'd probably cop it if you were trying to get on the outside and got the arm free and the ball come loose. But they were your very, very simple errors. And look, they did well to keep close to the Storm and then make a late charge late. And I kind of guess that sums up their year. They've punched above their weight probably all year and stuck in games and been close, but just not quite good enough this year.
Yeah, the first 15 minutes I thought was Newcastle, and then Neville Costigan dropped a cutout pass wide, and Gareth Widdop runs over. Matt Duffy runs over and scores from halfway. Bo Champion scores from quick hands on the 28th minute. Sika Amano scores a little bit later that from a crossfield kick, and yeah, it was over then, wasn't it?
Oh, it was done and dusted. Although, if Kidley had kicked his goal, it would have been a very exciting finish.
Well, what do you make of that particular... I mean, we've said that Melbourne were in control of the match for 60 minutes, and then Gidley scores off a Mullen pass, Ioane scores off a Mullen pass, Gidley, as you say, misses the conversions. The thing that I take out of this match was that for 60 minutes, Melbourne had eradicated what happened last week, and even to a degree what happened against Manly, where they've got back into their style, they're in control, and then for some reason, Newcastle get that try, which was pretty soft defence on Gidley, and all of a sudden, I say, the Knights looked dangerous, and Melbourne looked like they were struggling to stop them.
Yeah, well, that was the first time the Knights had been that close to the line, you know, all game, and as soon as they got up there, they put on points, which would be very worrying for Bellamy and his boys, because they do pride themselves on their defence. So, yeah, I think there's a few question marks over some of those young players, where their head is defensively, particularly on their own line, and be interesting. But now they've got the week off anyway, so they don't have to worry about it for a week.
Precisely. There was one tactic that Newcastle tried that just didn't come off, and that was bombing Billy Slater. And kept bombing Billy Slater. And all Billy Slater kept doing was what, Matt?
He caught it, and then keep catching it. It was a ridiculous play, and I can't work out what... But the bombs weren't even that great. Like, a lot of the bombs, they were so deep, they didn't even have time to get their chases there. I just couldn't work out what they were doing. That was very strange.
Something that someone pointed out on Twitter, actually, and I'll give him credit, because I've noticed this a bit with Billy Slater, but... Have you noticed how the legs kind of extend as he goes to catches the bombs in recent years? I think it's a way of protecting himself, but if you notice today, Neville Costigan copped a shin across the face. Did you notice that one?
I did see that, and I think that Rose pointed out a couple of weeks ago how, well, I think they identified a rugby union player who was notorious for it, and then I think a viewer pointed out that, yeah, have a look at Billy Slater, he's one, you know, I can understand why they do it.
Yeah.
A defence, but it can be dangerous.
It can, but yeah, the Knights, that's the end of them for 2011. It's the end of Adam McDougall. We've enjoyed watching him play on the field and talk to his legs, so no longer we're going to see that. And he teared up in the post-match interview. Obviously, playing football has meant a lot to him, and he's played on to the age of, is it 35?
Yep, no, it's a big effort for Mad Dog. He's been around for a very long time, a very emotional player, and look, he played in some pretty good form this year too. Look, probably the best form we've seen for him for a couple of years, and a good family of footballers, albeit they've had their fair share of trouble.
Indeed. What's the all-time best one? One of the brothers was ran off the field at the end of a match at Gosford one year to avoid the drug testers.
Yeah, did the bolt over the fence. And
anyway, in the other game, there was a Toyota Cup game played a little bit earlier, and the Melbourne Storm beat the Roosters. I think it was 26-10, and that was the Roosters' first loss in 13 games. But both teams will play again next week. So that's the Melbourne Storm over the Newcastle Knights. The 4-2-1s, I gave Slater 4 points, Cameron Smith 2 points, and Brian Norrie, fantastic performance up front. I gave him the 1 point. Now, the games on Saturday night, we'll start off with your match, mate. You were obviously there at Suncorp Stadium to see the Broncos 40, the Warriors 10.
Let's get underway. Finals football in Brisbane. Big night for the Queensland team. And a good look at it. It's in play on. Now, last tackle. Hodges gets it away. Yayu's 10 out. Depth kick. Warriors and Broncos have got to it first. Yayu has scored a record for Brisbane. With Harry Kuehl-like skills down a very narrow blind side.
Yeah, checking the grounding. He's pretty confident. So do the rest of the Broncos who are around that. Ooh, it rolls forward under his torso. Is that a knock-on? Is it? You saw the ball roll forward as he gathered it up, and then he rolls his body over the top of the ball, and the ball rolls with him. So this is a tough assignment first up. For the video referee.
I've said it before.
Here, just watch this closely. Now watch the ball roll under his body with him. Oh, that's got to be a knock on. It's rolled on the ground, isn't it?
Here we go. And it is no try.
Attacking 10 metres out.
Parker offloads. They made it over that there, Wallace. On the left and lost the legs of the tackle. Maloney play on Glenn. Should be a try. Glenn Meadows. Glenn has gone over. A head clash between a couple of the Warriors, but Alex Glenn, the top try-scoring back rower in the National Rugby League, has scored. And it's Matalino who gets it up to halfway. He's got good skills as well, Matalino. Back, Johnson forced to pass. Mateo, there's a real chance to run. Lock on to Johnson. What about these young blokes? Lock has kicked it on the outside. I don't know who's going to chase it. Johnson will, and he'll go close to it. But Yayu just shadowed the ball over the dead ball line. Brisbane have had 56% of possession and 11 tackles inside the Warriors' 20. And Wallace got it away to Beale. He's away from one. He's got it away to Reid. Big Jack Reid is over again for Brisbane. First year of first grade, first finals match. And first try in finals footy. What a year for the Bribey Island junior, Jack Reid. The ball is flat there. Lockyer high pass went through Hodges. Fielded by Gillette. Was it a Shepherd? It's allowed to continue. Gillette's away. He's done the backhand of Dummy. Got it away on the inside to Lockyer. But Gillette may have produced a miracle here. And they have won the try. I've never seen a dummy thrown in that fashion. 16-0.
Yeah, on the back of back-to-back penalties given away by the Warriors, the Broncos have come good. I actually thought they might have checked this for a little shepherd, a little sheep herder right here. But in the end, I suppose he did have plenty of chance to make the tackle. And Matt Gillette, that's a great ball to the skipper.
Is it 11 metres out from the line? Finals footy live and free on Channel 9 across field. Up went Jack Reid, got the pass away, and it's Corey Parker who is the recipient of an absolute gift from one of the finals rookies. Dead set. There's probably a handful of rookies of the year in the Brisbane outfit, but Jack Reid, I call him Jumping Jack. To give it up for attention to detail, Jared Beale.
Well, this should have nearly been a try. Jared Beale backs up from the inside from a great break from Hunt. And look at Darren Lockyer, the skipper. He's looked at the skipper and said, no, you won't get there. You're too old. I won't give it to you. It's unbelievable.
And straight through. Straight through goes Big Matteo. Matteo is tackled 12 away. Sadly, no Warrior within 10 of Filetti Matteo. They come to centre field. Jeremiah on to Johnson. He offloads. Broncos can't defend this time. charging over Walsh Mateo. And where there is life, there is hope. And no Warriors fan about to go home just yet. Chance for Maloney. Maloney with the ball. He wants a straight runner. There is no way. Flick pass out the back. Lopp's got it. Got away from one. Diving pass. Manu! The Kino numbers come in for Manu Vanavay. After what has been a bludger of a night, he scores a try for the Warriors. And Fatman, they're still alive.
Good on you, Manu. Yeah, that does keep them alive. 13 minutes left on the clock. Brisbane stretch for numbers here. It's a good ball there. Another beautiful ball from Mateo. And then Kevin Locke evaded one. Great pass. You're not going to stop him from there on the Keno replay.
Five from the line. Last tackle. Dummy. Big chance. And over. Well, now the party will start. McCulloch has scored back-to-back wins. Two tries this year. One against Manly last week. And one here to seal the deal, you'd reckon, at 28-10 with nine to go. Here's Teo running like he's fresh as a daisy. Ben Teo! Teo passes! Lockyer is cut down. That's not how the script was. He was meant to score there. The Broncos will still score. And it's Hodges for the corner on Nitti. Corner post goes flying. Hodges almost into the fence. And Jared Maxwell with a smile on his face says try to Justin Hodges. And on the Broncos attack again. Reads away. Back into field. Glenn started it with an offload that the best offloaders of all time would be proud of. Brisbane have got tries in the 71st minute, the 73rd minute, and now have added another one in the 76th minute. This is a party. This is a celebration for Brisbane tonight, and the Broncos are just whipping the Warriors out of it. The Warriors one last day, but for Lance Ohio, his final minutes in the National Rugby League, he's been so good for them and for New Zealand, and sadly his last touch in the NRL will be a drop ball. Just given the death knell of the Warriors, as if they're just predict that they're out.
What about next week?
Yeah, well, you don't know, they're around. Maybe that's a little bit of accidental Nostradamus as the kick is out on the full to finish the match. And Brisbane are safely through to at least week two and possibly week three. And it has ended up a performance featuring 7-2. They had it well in hand at half-time, but have gone on with the job since then. 40-10 to Brisbane.
Like we said, the Warriors, geez, Ivan Cleary would be very disappointed. There was a strong tip around. I think you tipped the Warriors was, but I think a lot of people. I was actually surprised how many people were tipping the Warriors. This was, I think most people thought was the upset of the week. But
yeah.
The Broncos come to play and they come with a tactic to bomb poor Almanu, and that certainly paid off.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that this game. And all you got to do is watch Ivan Cleary's press conference after the match, mate. He's just perplexed. He doesn't know how his team goes from playing pretty solid football against the Cowboys last week to basically not showing up. They were outplayed from the get-go pretty much in this match. Errors killed them. As you say, the tactics to attack, go after Manu was a factor. But, I mean, the score was, 18-0 at half-time, and you really didn't feel like the Warriors were going to get back in the game. The only player that was dangerous to them was Fleetie Mateo, and no one was backing him up. You guys ended up really taking this game away in the last 10 minutes on the scoreboard, which was a theme we saw later obviously that night. But what do you make of the way Brisbane played without Thaiday and without Hoffman?
Remind me of a very Bellamy style coach team. You know, you take out key players and you bring in a player and they just do their job. I'm a big rat for Hoffman. He's probably my favourite Bronco player. I was never too worried though about losing him at fullback. I know what Bill could offer. I had the question mark over Copley coming on the wing, but he was solid. And Teo and Gillette did good things subbing him for Big Sam. So yeah, look, the players knew what job they had to do and they executed it well.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you about. I think it was the Gillette pass to Lockyer leading up to that try. How was there not a obstruction decision at least made about the I think it was the run by Josh Maguire in front of Darren Lockyer. How'd that not go upstairs?
Yeah, a strange one was. I had expected it to go upstairs, but it seems you never know you can't second guess the referees these days. Sometimes the most obvious ones are let go, and some of the ones that you think they'll award straight away, they have a look at. It's quite confusing.
Jared Maxwell had an absolute Barry Bissell on that night. I've never been a fan of him as a referee, but he's one of the kings at seeing things that aren't there and not seeing things that are clearly there. That's what we think of referees most of the time, but he was pretty ordinary on the night. And then the Darren Lockyer surrender. Have you ever seen a more classic example of why a penalty should be given for surrendering than that?
No, it was your classic voluntary tackle, right? I understand why Lockyer...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no reason why he went down, but he had to be penalised. Because if it wasn't for taking the advantage, it was that he got an advantage by not getting... He has to get touched by one minuscule bit, and that's where the rules are stupid, is that poor old Felipe Mateo's going, what do I do?
Yeah, that's right.
Can I take the ball off him? And then he gets told once he touches the ball, he can't touch him anymore. It's one of those stupid...
No, it's crazy. And I'm sure that, if he'd lying there, the referees wouldn't have blown the penalty. They would have said not held or something like that, and Lockie would have got up and run type of thing. So, yeah, the decision should have been made there, but they're a bit off the rest. They're a bit shaky all night. Some very, very strange decisions.
The Warriors were even shakier. The thing that really struck me out of this match was 12 months on, they learnt nothing from their loss to the Titans last year.
No, that's a good point, Woz. Yeah, they learnt nothing at all. But I did tip off at the start of the year was Broncos coach team, Anthony Griffin. I said he's a great peaker of a football team. They'll be playing their best football come September, and they certainly are.
They are. Andrew McCullough's playing very well, and Trent Lind, who's a loyal listener of the show, just wanted to give McCullough a big rap for how he's playing. When we went down to Melbourne, me and my brother and another mate of ours, we watched the Broncos play the Storm, and one of the things we really noticed with McCullough was if he has to do a lot of defence, he struggles to get involved in the next set of six attacking-wise. It seems like there'll be three or four tackles before he goes to dummy half. I didn't really notice he missed those chances in this particular match, but his form definitely has improved, and that was a really smart try that he scored. The game was over, but he definitely put it beyond doubt with that dummy near the line.
And Trent alluded to it in his tweet that since he got dropped for that off-field indiscretion, got the weaker. I think it was a real wake-up call for him, and his form has been fantastic. And he's always had big raps on him ever since he's come to the club. He came as a 5'8", and there was talk, that he wants the next Darren Lockyer, and you never like to put that title on anyone, but that was the talk at the time when he first come to the club. And he's really improved, and his work ethic is what's impressed me, and that's, as you said, was he's in both defence and attack, because there's never any question over his defence. He's always been a great defender, but some of the things he was providing an attack earlier in the season were fairly disappointing.
Yeah, fair point. Now, the 4-2-1s of this game, I gave Corey Parker 4 points, non-stop performance, and the Warriors didn't shut down his offload, and it hurt him. Jack Reid, mate, your man Jack Reid, he was fantastic. Just made a couple of big plays. He didn't do a whole lot during the match, but when he had to inject himself, he came up with a big play with a contesting a bomb. He's one of those players that just makes things happen. And Josh Maguire, the big show. Where has this endurance come from, mate?
I don't know. It's another one. I think the eye injury that he copped as well is another wake-up call. There was a question mark when he had that detached retina that he had, that his career could be over. And I think he kind of thought, wow, that was nearly my football career. And he's playing like a man that, knew that he nearly lost his career, and just amazing performance.
I've got to give Felipe Mateo a rap in a beaten side. He missed out on a point, but gee, you deserve one if I could have made it, because he was outstanding. He was the only player that worried the Broncos. And I just want to implore people to, again, listen to, it's probably on the podcast a little bit later, but Ivan Cleary talking in the press conference, he was there for forever, it seemed. But the Brisbane media kept asking him for his opinion on Brisbane's performance, and he just kept saying, look, I'm just... You could tell, he's basically saying, well, I don't know what my team just dished up. Why do I care about what Brisbane did? And they just kept pestering him. But, yeah, I'll include some quotes from that in the podcast. Now, that meant that the Broncos were in a position where they could end up with a home final in week three, if results went their way later on in the night. But when Manly beat the North Queensland Cowboys 42-8 after trailing 8-0 at half time, that home final was going to happen next week rather than in week three.
last 8 games. And he thinks that he's giving us too many sides a head start. That cannot be the case against Manly.
Ben Cummins and Gavin Badger have got this game. Jonathan Thurston kicks off. Enjoy this one, the second on our Saturday night fever of rugby league.
But they might have been thinking 6 instead of 2.
21 in, 15 out for Thurston. Kicking it towards the southern end. He puts the flags up. It's 2-0 in favour of the Cowboys. Thompson to Thurston. He rolls it in. It's a try for Tonga. Willie Tonga's got the first try of the night.
And that's brave, but it's great vision. Jonathan Thurston, second tackle, summed up the situation that he bent up quickly off their line. His men on the outside behind, so they always had the momentum in chasing the kick, and it was pinpoint, the kick. Comes to the line, shapes the pass, drops it on his boot, and bounces beautifully for Willie Tonga. He's the best in that department. Strong defence there. Sims bring it back?
Yes, it was, Peter.
Oh, Tony Williams, Steve Maddie. That's a nice daily double.
Up, it's 8-0 in favour of the Cowboys. And Tony Williams bulldozing his way up to the halfway line.
Well, he didn't go sideways.
Jerry Evans, right foot, left foot, taken by a man offside.
Well, there you go, 2 in a row. Tony Williams set the trend there with a big run. He went north-south. And all of a sudden, his halfback backed him up and went to the line and drew the penalty. But that's been lacking in Manly so far. Tony Williams might have straightened them up here.
Manly a chance. Trailing by 8. Back at the scrum play. Jerry Evans, Foran, Stewart in from the back. It's gone away to Hopewadi. And Hopewadi to the line. Hopewadi scores for Manly. It's 8-4. Williams charging back to the middle. 3 metres out from the line. Southern end of the ground here at the footy stadium. Ballon for Jerry Evans. Jerry Evans for Shane Rodney. Rodney will get it away. He finds his captain. Jamie Lyon wrestles away from Bowen. Gets it down to Jerry Evans. Jerry Evans gets it on to Foran. Foran gets it to Stewart. And the snake has gone in. Brett Stewart has scored for Manly. Beautiful passage of play.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I don't know what Des Hasler said, but whatever it was had the desired effect, because the desperation from his football team early in this second half has increased dramatically. Watch the skill level here. Short ball, Cherry Evans. He's on the ground almost, foreign, but offloads to one of the best support players in the game, B. Stewart.
Cherry Evans bombs towards the uprights, and they all hit the uprights. There'll be a try here. Yes, Anthony Watmo. Anthony Watmo has got the deflection off the steelwork. Williams up the middle, rushing through a couple, had the hand free. Quick play the ball, and a penalty again. Marker holding the man playing the ball is the ruling.
Here's an attitude decision right here. Do they kick the level up? They're not even thinking about it. They're on the attack.
And it's 4 and Tony Williams has found a no-looker. And Stewart finds the line for a second tonight. 111 tries.
Oh, gee, Ray, I reckon you've said that sometimes. And Stewart finds the line. What's a great ball from Tony Williams. Not the man you'd be expecting to throw the deft little inside pass to a flying fullback. But Tony Williams, promoted into the run on side tonight by Des Hasler. He's a real strike weapon in the weeks to come. And they've scored what will be the match winner and will be the departure signal for North Queensland this year.
Here's Cherry Evans, and long to Lyon. Bounces, steps. Bura goes back. There should be a hole back there. He reaches out. I think Bura has scored.
Celebrating, and Jamie Lyon will be hoping that Jamie Bure has got this down, because he bombed one through a dummy when he only had to pass to an unmarked winger, but they kept the football alive, and Jamie Bure hasn't been out there long. Did a great job last week at 5'8", and yep, he scored.
And Cherry Evans attacks the blinds up, puts a little kick in. Hopalati's after, he's got it! Hopalati scores! That's his second for the night. Beautiful kick from this talented number seven. Bura in the way! Chases on! Fullback across, Bowen should run him down. Passes to the left. Robertson's got the ball. Shows it. Takes the tackle on the 20. Gets it back and away. Now it's Morrow. Now it's Bowen. Bowen scores for Manly in the shadows of full time.
Well, it's not a big crowd, but it's a noisy one at the moment. They have loved what they've seen second half, and we didn't see this coming. Not 40 points scored by the Eagles, but they've got it right second half.
So Robertson takes the kick. So Manly have beaten the clock in the second half. Daly, marry me, I need a visa. Now that is taking worship a little bit too far. Good banner, well done. 42-8, Eagles over Cowboys.
The Cowboys came into this match, a lot of people gave him a hope because of the injuries and suspensions to Manly. They played pretty good football in the first half, but the moment Manly got a sniff, I think all that doubt that's been probably festering in the Cowboys over the last 6 or 7 weeks since Thurston got hurt and he even came back. They've lost 5 of their last 6, was it, or 6 of the last 7. Once Manly got a sniff, I think it was over.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys were solid in the first half, but I really thought Manly were poor. They were very unmanly-like, and that allowed the Cowboys to probably look a little bit better than they actually played, but once Manly come out in that second half, I'm sure Desi gave them a good old-fashioned spray. They come out firing, and we've seen the Cowboys that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, that team that just has faded on at the end of the year, on tired legs, I feel the Cowboys are.
Yeah, Jonathan Thurston, there was a moment in the second half, I'm pretty sure the score was 12-8 to Manly, but the Cowboys got I think it was a repeat set down inside the Manly 20, and the whole set of 6 was pretty average, but it got to the fourth tackle, it came out to JT, and he'd been hitting Willie Tonga early most of the year, he'd been hitting Fifi Lowe, he'd been hitting his inside, or his outside running second rower in Cooper, whatever it was at the time, and he puts in a kick that deflects, I think, off Matt-Eye, and then Matt-Eye picks it up and runs for about 20 or 30 metres. But that play, that was the game for mine, because they needed to get something out of that little venture back into Manly's half. Didn't get it. Manly went up the other end of the field, and I think it was 30 points in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, the floodgates opened, didn't they, Waz? It was a disappointing finish for the Cowboys, because they exceeded so many people's expectations.
Except for yours, mate.
No, they were below expectations for me, but they'll be remembered for, dropping out of that, this poor end to the season. And obviously Thurston's injury hasn't helped, and look, I think he's been a player without confidence and may still have an niggling injury there, because he's not the player that he was, pre-Origin. Well,
Thurston's
had a disappointing Origin series as well.
Yeah, what do you take out of, if you're a Cowboys fan, or just an observing like you and I are, you watch the way that they capitulated that last 20 minutes. I think I'm just looking at the times the tries were scored. Let me just scroll down. Okay. Manly scored in the 48th minute, the 57th minute, the 63rd minute, the 70th minute, the 74th minute, the 76th minute, and the 79th minute. Des Hasler pointed out in the second half they completed every set of 6. It's pretty hard not to complete set of 6 when basically every time you get the ball in the last 15 minutes, you score a try. How do the Cowboys react to basically, lack of a better putting it, turning it up in that last 15 minutes? I've rarely seen a team in a semi-final just be not a non-factor at all defensively in that last 15 minutes. The game was still there to a degree, and they just every set of 6 Manly got, they scored a try. I don't think I've seen it before.
I think Melbourne did it to a couple of Broncos teams a couple of times, but that was probably one of the worst. I think you could tell the Cowboys knew that they needed to start that second half well, and I think as soon as Manly scored fairly early in that second half, their confidence just sunk and they were gone at that point. And I think they seen their season go, and they didn't want it enough in that second half.
Now, one point that comes out of this match, it was a point of conjecture during the week, it was the Brookie Oval. versus SFS debate. 13,972 was the listed crowd figure at SFS. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I think the figure was low, and the main one that everyone has to really have a good look at, not only the NRL but Channel 9 as well, is that the kickoff was 8:30 p.m. How do they expect to get above 20,000 to a central ground with even Brookvale? I don't know if they'd sold it out if it was 8:30, but you're basically eliminating families there and then. And it's all because, if you think about it, it's all because of the news for Channel 9. Because if they show their news at 6, they can show their game at 6:30, which really, as you know, with Channel 9, it always goes to 6:45 because they got to do their lead up. And then 8:30 kickoff for a semi final football. SFS was always going to struggle to get above 15, really, wasn't it?
I guess I was. I don't really have a great handle on the Sydney crowds. I reckon we still would have got plenty in Brisbane, but I admit it. I'm the first to admit it's a tough time slot to get families to, and you know, but we know they're not catering for families. They're catering for Channel 9.
Someone pointed out that if you paid for the tolls to all the tolls and the parking and whatnot, it would cost $26 if you were coming from Manly to go to the game on Saturday night. That doesn't include ticket cost. And yet, if you were going to ANZ Stadium for the game, it was on Friday night, public transport was free.
So,
you know, it's a pretty big difference. And, I mean, not that everybody on the Northern Beaches is loaded. We can't make that assumption. But, you know, it's a proven fact that, you know, if you've got to pay that extra bit for travel and for parking, it's going to turn people off, and especially when you look at an 8:30 kickoff, you can sit at home and watch it on TV, you can take in the game beforehand. You know, the NRL's decision, which they stood by and said that because all the CEOs agreed to it, we basically had no reason not to believe this would work. It's one of those situations where I just hope that, I think Manly will play either Brisbane or the Dragons in week 3. I really hope in some ways for Manly's sake of getting a crowd, that in some ways it's the Dragons. But at the same time, I don't think so, because the Dragons travel beautifully, whether it's in Sydney or elsewhere. The Dragons fans are going to outnumber the Manly significantly in week 3.
That's right.
Whereas if you guys might actually match them if you've got a few travelling Broncos fans. Just a question on that, because everyone's been bagging out Manly fans for not travelling 21Ks or whatever it was to the SFS. Brisbane fans, how do you... What's of the people you know up in Brisbane who go to the games every week, how many then travel elsewhere?
I know a lot of the guys in the Sydney-based supporter group that go to all the games. Mm. I think there's about 50 or 60 of those.
Okay.
To all the 60, all Sydney or New South Wales games. There's a few of our guys that will go to the games within reason, and you know, I know myself and a few others pick out one Sydney game a year to get along to, but it's a bit tough, but I know most make the trip down to the Gold Coast game.
Okay. The 4-2-1s in this match, I gave Tony Williams, the Cat, 4 points. He was outstanding. Got the starting role and made a fist of it, and he made one run, I think it was just before half-time, that got Manly on the front foot in the match, basically. And it's about time he pulled his finger out. Kieran Foran and DCE took the 2 and the 1. They were outstanding for Manly. Now, they're going to take a week off. They'll have a home semi-final, probably at the SFS, or depending on their play, obviously, whether it's the Dragons or the Broncos. That led us to Friday night football, mate, and probably the game of the round, easily the game of the round. The West Tigers, 21 points to 12 over the Dragons. Get the Dragons led 12 points to 6 at halftime, and we're in control.
Welcome to the final. Tony Archer is the major referee tonight. It's a good smell, isn't it, September? Sit back and enjoy. We're underway with the final. Farrah for Marshall. Marshall! He's almost out there. Swing got the ball back. Breaks into the backfield. Inside 20, inside 10.
Upstairs first, because we don't know what happened.
He's kicked it.
Well, they're looking at a second knock-on, possibly, as when it rebounds.
Try for Marshall! 2 metres out from the line. Is this where the Dragons come back? Yes, it is. Mitch Rain has scored. Mitch Rain has found the big, big dummies. And the Dragons are in. For Boyd and Boyd.
Boyd back after his stands, and then Rain and Salad. Salad shakes the pass, double pumps and goes for the gap. He got into the corner. He got the ball inside. It's a try for the Dragons for Nightingale. Jason Nightingale has scored after Jamie Salad. Press the green button.
The ref Russell Smith. Here's the Tigers. Close to half-time, getting close to the 30-metre line. Played back, Farrah goes with the ball, looks for Louis, finds Louis, he comes back, right side, left side, Ellis gets it away, Louis does well, Fakiri for the corner, left foot step required, referee has ruled it's gone forward,
Robert Louis.
The Englishman, he's looked dangerous a couple of times, Louis outside, inside, Moulton's there, Moulton floats it, wide to Aishford. Aishford will step. Aishford, oh, they've saved the try, have they? Or has Ryan got it down?
Oh, boy.
I think Bo Ryan has got it down with it. Blake Aishford made it a little bit harder than what it possibly should have been. It's a brilliant pass from Tim Moulton after some great lead-up work. As Ray pointed out, the outside, inside, put Moulton away. And at the end of it, Blake Aishford pops it back on the inside to Bo Ryan, who showed good reflexes to hang on to it and gets the football down.
Sarah for Marshall. Marshall to them. Then to Louis. Louis holds it back. Hoyton! Chris Hoyton has scored! Oh, dear, oh, dear. Aren't they putting it together in the second half?
Oh, the machine is looking very well oiled at the moment.
Louis in traffic. Going nowhere. Five gone. Moulton's very deep. Marshall snaps it. Marshall snaps the field goal. West Tigers are seven in front.
And a lack of pressure coming through on him. He was only 10 metres out right in front, Benji Marshall. And he put everything into it. He wasn't looking to dink that one over. He was kicking that one as far as he could and straight through. And that one, well, that wraps them up, and now the nervous wait, the short restart from the Dragons, but seven behind. They don't have enough time to score twice.
12-6 it was, at the break. Here's the Dragons going to the right side, breathing over there. Salad takes on Ellis. In the big second row, wins that battle, but Jamie's hurt.
And a heavy, heavy hit there from Gareth Ellis, and the Tigers fans over just in front of that, loved every second of it. The Englishman came up with the football. Sal was on the ground. But he's up mouthing off now, so he's recovered quickly.
Robert, there you go. Robbie, take him away, mate. Don't do anything silly.
Well, this match is over. This match is over. The first of our qualifying finals ending with a bit of push and shove. Nothing more than that. 21-12, Tim Sheens as Tigers. They've won, they've come from 12-6 down at the break, 15-0, and they've won a 21-12.
Yeah, it certainly was. Look, it was a good game. It was a really good game, but I still just thought it lacked that finals intensity for mine, like a semi-final. It was your Tigers versus Dragons game that we've probably been served up over the last couple of years that these games, these teams have played, whether it's finals or not. It was a good game, but I just still thought lacked that real finals intensity, and I thought the Dragons were fairly disappointing in that second half.
Oh, they the game, you can't always say the game's lost when the team's trailing, but the first two or three sets after half time, the Tigers just looked like they had another gear, and the Dragons were like, what do we do now? Because they don't have, that's one thing about the Dragons I think that we've said for a long time is, Their top gear is pretty good. Their top gear is hard to beat, especially if they get a lead. But where's that next gear when they need to trail and chase points? And it's just not there. And this team, there was one play. I mean, there was the... Oh, we'll go through the plays, but Benji Marshall, did he kick the ball, yes or no?
I thought no was.
Under the way that the rules are, if he just knocked that on in terms of the ball comes to him and then hits the ground and then tries to kick it, I got no worries calling it a knock-on. But the fact he was trying to actually kick the ball and there was some foot on the ball, whether it was the minuscule or not, because he was trying to kick the ball, I'm all right with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's one of those that, yeah, look, I'm, I cop the decision, you know, either way. But, yeah, I don't know if he did get anything to it.
Having said that, the Dragons led 12 points to 6 at half-time, so they really can't blame that decision for why they lost second half. Tim Maltzen had a really strong game for the Tigers. He set up the Bo Ryan try that levelled it up. Benji got a penalty goal to take him in the lead. He probably could have iced the game after Heineken scored with a shot at goal. He missed that. But there was one play in this match that, to me, it's hard to write a team like the Dragons off completely, because you know that they're a team that if they get the lead, they're hard to beat, even though they lost this match. But the lack of intensity or commitment or whatever you want to call it, when Benji Marshall is 15 metres out right in front for a field goal, one bloke ran after the ball, which was Dean Young, which is no surprise. But there's about four Dragons players who just stood on the line and watched it go with their heads. I know that the odds of them stopping it were very slim. I understand that. But when you see a team that is down by 6 points and it's a potential elimination game for them, and one bloke runs out, to me that just says Dragons are shot.
Yep, they didn't want it. No, I totally agree, Boz. Yeah, I noticed that myself, I thought, because I had actually backed the draw in this game, and it was a bad result. So I was dirty with a few of the Dragons not chasing it down.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's the Dragons, who knows? But we, as I said, you don't win the comp if you can't play. And they get a chance this week against the Broncos. But, you know, that play right there says to me that at least mentally the Tigers have got it over them. The Tigers were looking like after that match they may have a home semi-final in week three, potentially, if there are some upsets. As it is, they will play the Warriors on Friday night. Now, the 4-2 ones in this match, I gave Liam Fulton 4 points, Tim Maltzen 2, and Robbie Farah 1 point. But they were just good, the Tigers. Found a gear when they needed to. And the Dragons, as we said, pretty disappointing. Final score, 21 points to 12. Now, there was elements out of all these four games that a couple of points need to be made. Apparently, it was the highest crowd total under the McIntyre system or overall ever. Did that surprise you, mate?
Yeah, it does, actually, what?
Considering we had, 13,000 at the SFS, 14,000 at Melbourne, and we had about 50 at Brisbane and 45 to 50 at the Tigers and the Dragons. Someone pointed out that the crowd at Melbourne was really average this afternoon. I just want to explain probably why that crowd was very average, because there was 90,000 Victorians across the road at the MCG watching Carlton play Essendon. And that's a big reason why you would lose a lot of the people that would be probably Storm fans throughout the year, but if they're Carlton or Essendon fans, they're going to get to that game ahead of the Melbourne Storm. It's just a reality of what it is. And an interesting question, discussion came up on Twitter, and poor old Melbourne, they were basically stuffed, because if you have a look at the way that the AFL schedule was for this weekend, there wasn't one single time slot that would have really been, there was no free time slot for Melbourne to have if they had moved the semi-final from what is traditionally the minor premiers play on the Sunday, because Friday night you had Geelong versus Hawthorn on the MCG, so you can't play, you're not going to play a semi-final against that. Then in the afternoon, I think it was West Coast versus Collingwood, the MCG again. Again, the Collingwood fans are just massive. And then at night time, the only chance they probably had was to play the late game in Melbourne, and that was because that game, which was the Swans and the Saints, was at Etihad. So the way that the schedule was, they were stuffed in Melbourne with promoting the game, but from what I understand, according to at least one person in Melbourne, it wasn't pushed that hard, but it's a bit of a, you know, unlucky thing for the Storm. You finish first and you're up against four AFL games.
Yeah, very unlucky to then got the AFL, compete with the AFL, but I think they work well down there and have found their little niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they don't clash, they do get a handy crowd.
Right, when we were at the Broncos in the Melbourne game, that crowd was fantastic. They knew their footy and they got into it. So it's definitely building down there, but as we all know, when AFL gets to the finals time, it's very hard for any code to compete with it.
The problem with Melbourne, I know, obviously there's massive dramas, actually, they've nearly always been a successful team.
Yeah.
I just really worry how they'll go if they do hit a... we've seen how the Titans crowds have just evaporated this year, in what you consider probably a rugby league stronghold. I just have real grave concerns for Melbourne the day that they...
Start struggling.
Hit a slump.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, mate. Now, that means that heading into next week, we have two semi-finals. We have the Tigers playing the Warriors at the SFS on Friday night, and with the Broncos playing the Dragons at Suncorp. Now, someone's just tweeted me on Twitter, and they've said that the game should be switched on this coming weekend, because apparently it's harder to get to a Sydney semi because of traffic than Brisbane. What's the traffic like on a Friday night in Brisbane?
Yeah, It's not great, Waz. It's not super, but I suppose Sydney's a bit busier. You've got a few more people.
The only argument against that is it's the Warriors and the Tigers. It's not the Tigers and the other Sydney side. That would be an issue. Now, that means, as I say, they're the two games. Broncos, Dragons at Suncorp. You'll be there on Saturday night, mate?
We'll be there. Well, at this stage, well, I haven't got any tickets yet. I imagine I'll be there.
Very good. And then the Tigers play the Warriors at the SFS, as we pointed out. Now, the Storm Seagulls are into week three. As I understand it, Manly will play the winner of Broncos Dragons on Friday night in 2 weeks' time, and winner of the Tigers Warriors will play the Storm in Melbourne on the Saturday night. And the Cowboys and Knights, they're done for this season. Now, that is our review of the qualifying finals here on Not the Footy Show. If you want to look at the results blog, it's got all the highlights and the press conferences. You can go to wdnicholson.com, and it's the first story looking at you straight in the face. I would recommend having a look at that. Now, looking at our tipping, mate, we changed the format up this year for the semi-finals. Mate, you're out in front, 3 from 4, with the way the starts worked. You got the Tigers +2, Broncos -2.5. You missed on the Cowboys at +7.5, but the Knights, we got lucky at the end, mate, 10.5. So you're 3 from 4 for the finals.
Inside, I've hit form well once, yep.
There's a few of us on 2, and the whole reason we changed the format of why you picked the games was to stuff up Nick McInerney, and it's worked a treat. He's got 1 from 4.
Beautiful.
So we're pretty happy with that.
Not the Footy Show.
Okay, just before we go here on Not the Footy Show, some of the best coaching quotes from the presses.
Look, I think the left side defended well. Although Gazier had Matty Utah and turned him inside out a few times, but they hung on.
It was excellent first half, and we obviously fell away in the second half.
Yeah, it was. It's probably the best second half of footy we've played for a long time.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think it touched his foot somewhere. Looked like it did. It's a weird bounce, but looked like it did. That's just, nothing you can do about that. There's been luck they got, and it's the way it is some days.
We prepared well, and we did what we had to do in week one, and took care of our job, and that's the main thing. And it gave us a little bit of variety. Once we got away from the middle of the ruck there, they all added something, even a chip and chase there at one stage.
Do you tell Matt to back himself?
Not to chip and chase, no. He's lucky he got it back.
Hoping that we're not finishing our season like that. So it's out of our control. We can't do anything about it now. And if this group of players gets another chance, then we've got to do a lot better than what we did tonight.
At this stage, we have no right to have a game next week, really, after that. So, it is what it is. So, just got to hope we get one. But, I don't think that could happen again. So, hopefully we get another one.
We'll take that on board. And it gives us a 2 weeks to freshen up, and we'll go again.
Came in fairly positive. We knew we had work to do because Manly are a dangerous side, and they've built a season on being able to play 80 minutes. And we're healthy. We'd only used 3 interchanges. We had fresh troops. Corey Patterson with his neck injury hurt us a little bit, but there's no excuses there. I mean, in the end, the last 12, 13 minutes of the game, we were 2 converted tries, I suppose, behind. Then to open it up at the back end there is disappointing.
We just switched off for a little minute there on the fifth tackle, and they scored a try on the end of that, and then they had some wind in their sails, so we were just happy to hang on at the end. But I thought, like I say, we got back to completing our sets pretty well today, and as I said, we built some good pressure, and we just need to build on that. And I was real happy with the boys. Last couple of weeks hasn't been our greatest week, but I thought we got back to being nice and controlled and hanging on to the ball a little bit.
Probably at 16-0, it's a fairly big start, and it probably took us a little bit too long to register our first points to be a realistic chance. But we're really happy. Just spoke to the boys about that second half, and there's probably one or two ways you could have gone at 16-0 as going out the back door with a 40-0 scoreline against you, or stand up and fight. And I definitely saw some great qualities in the second half.
Not the
Everybody, we will be back on Thursday with our preview of the elimination semi-finals in week two. Maddie will be obviously with us and all the regulars. I'm really hoping to get a special guest on, but I can't confirm that is going to definitely happen. But stick with us. We're going to make sure it happens before the grand final. All the fantasy leaguers who entered, congratulations. I'll put up all your teams on wnicholson.com in the next 24 hours, and you can see how you're faring in the race for the Not the Footy Show t-shirt. And as always, make sure you check out our YouTube page and NRL tweet, follow us on there. Maddie is on at Mr. Peninsula if you want some great, insightful comments about the Queensland Cup. I believe there was one the other day that said that he was pretty sure that the Seagulls was going to win one of the semi-finals in the Queensland Cup. Mate, you want to explain that one?
Yeah, there's two teams called the Seagulls, Tweed Heads and Winner Manly, both have the Seagulls names.
And who won, mate?
You're a sure winner.
Seagulls won?
Seagulls won, but actually there was an upset. Was the Tweed Heads, who had only lost one game all year, got beat. It was a game, Tweed Heads had finished first, played Team 6, and Team 6 dusted them in a bit of an upset.
And Redcliffe Dolphins beat the South Logan Magpies 22-20.
Yes, was a bit of a cliffhanger. Dolphins hung on there, and they're one game away from a grand final. Exciting times.
And the Northern Pride smashed the Ipswich Jets 30-6. Everybody, we'll be back on Thursday with all our previews for the big semi-finals. I hope you've enjoyed our quick review of the qualifying finals. Matty Duncan's been up there in Queensland.
That's me, was. And Wednesday night.
And I've been Warwick Nicholson. Thanks for listening.
Can we leave before I do a roughie on the doll on this?
You've been sleeping over there?